You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
You know, I'm so privileged to be able to come around the Word with you this morning as we ask God to speak to us and the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts. But before we get to the Word, I want to ask if you have ever been entrusted with something valuable and then you feel the weight of responsibility for it. Maybe you're hanging around with someone who's got a newborn baby and they really need to go to the toilet. And you're not good at holding babies, but they're like, can you hold my baby, please? And who knows, you don't want to drop the baby. That's a lot of responsibility. Or maybe someone tasks you with looking after their animals while they're away. Has anyone been in this situation before where you're not the babysitter, you're the cat or the dog sitter or the fish sitter? And there's two kinds of people in these situations. Some people leave you a detailed list of 5 pages about what you need to do to make sure the dog is looked after, how many you have to count out the individual pallets of food that you give to it, how long it needs to walk, how often, when you need to put its jumper on at night time. And then people that are just like, yeah, just feed them. It's all good. It's all good. And I think sometimes borrowing someone's car can be the same. It's just like, yeah, whatever, it's all good, it's all yours. And then another person's like, you need to only put 98 premium petrol in it and be careful shifting into second gear and et cetera, et cetera. Because, you know, some people's cars are like their children. But as we come around the Word today, can we pray and say, Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to us? So, Lord, we pray this morning that as we come around your Word, that you would speak to our hearts in this place. Holy Spirit, that you would come, that you would bring revelation, that you would challenge and you would encourage us, that you would bring clarity and revelation this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, our key scripture today from Matthew chapter 25, it provides us with an illustration of how God entrusts things to us. You know, not just to hold on to or to look after, but to be responsible for and to act on out of our faithfulness toward him. So from verse 14, it says again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he'd entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver and I have earned 2 more. The master again said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. And then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. You know, what a passage of scripture. And I think there's so much that we can learn from this. There's so much that God can speak to us about through this. You know, about how God's created us and what he's purposed us for and how he provides for us. So we ask today, how can we apply this illustration to us? So in this story, the man or the master represents Jesus or God, and the servants represent us. Because Jesus, as you might have heard before, he came to earth, he performed signs, wonders and miracles while he was here, and he lived a sinless life. And then he took our sins and he died on a cross in our place, rising again victorious on the third day over death and providing a way for us and all of humanity to be restored with God. Amen. And we're so thankful and so grateful for that. But before he ascended to heaven, he left us with a mission. The Great Commission, to share the good news of salvation, this same good news and grace that we have experienced with all of the world, and to make disciples. And God has entrusted each of us with something or some things to help us to do our part in it, to help us do our part in the mission. You know, in the illustration, we see that they were each given a bag of silver, but the meaning for us today isn't just about finances. It might be for you if that's an area God's called you into, but it refers to what God has given to us, whether that's resources, whether it is gifts and talents and abilities, whether it's the locations, the spaces that we're called to, the opportunities that we have, the things that make us unique as individuals that God has given to us. And I think although the illustration, it says one was given five bags of silver, one two and another one, the amounts might have been different, but they were all significant. You know, even one bag of silver was a significant amount that was given. And they were given according to the ability of the individuals. You know, God entrusts us with exactly what we need for the ability that he has given us. God entrusts us with exactly what we need for the ability that he has given to us. You know, the thing that all three of these servants had in common was the giver. You know, that there was intention from the giver, that each of them received something that was given to them for a purpose. You know, not just to hold, not just to have, not just to bury in the ground, but to utilize, to be faithful to the master. You know, God has given to us, to each of us, God has given each of us something, and he's given it to us for intention, for mission, to share the good news and see people become disciples. You know, I love that the scripture, that it describes this not as just something that was given, but something that was entrusted. You know, and maybe we don't always consider what we have this way. Maybe we consider what we have just as things or maybe abilities, you know, things we've worked on, things we're good at. But God has entrusted you with gifts, with talents, with resources. He has entrusted you. And entrust means to give over to another for care, protection, or performance. You know, it goes beyond simply just looking after something. You know, we're entrusted with it. And God has entrusted you. So this morning, a question is, what has God entrusted to you? What has God entrusted to you? You know, for me, I can think of a couple of examples. Is I've been entrusted with a wife, you know, someone to love, someone to encourage and cherish and be faithful to. You know, I've been entrusted with friends and community around me. I've been entrusted to be a part of the church, to lift up and encourage other people. You know, I've been entrusted with gifts and talents, one of which is playing guitar, and another is writing formulas in spreadsheets. That might be very dull, but you know, I can see that's something that God's entrusted me with. You know, it is boring, isn't it? Writing formulas in spreadsheets, but you know, someone's got to do it, right? Someone's got to do it. But God has entrusted me with something. Like, it's boring to you, it's exciting to me. So if I don't do what God has entrusted to me, you might have to do it. But God has entrusted me with that, and I want to serve and be faithful to him in that. You know, for all of us, God has entrusted us with something. You know, maybe it's your house, your spaces, being hospitable with people in opening up your homes, in opening up your lives, in moments with each other. You know, creating a welcoming environment for people to meet Jesus. Maybe you're great with people. And we can be entrusted with that and simply just send a text message of encouragement to someone. And maybe it's using the gifts and talents that God has given to us, whether it's creativity and using it to point people to Jesus and being innovative to create pathways for people to hear the gospel, or using our hands to care for the church property, to care for the church, to provide and be faithful to God. And if we look at this illustration, you know, what is it that the three servants were entrusted with? Yes, it was bags of silver, but whose bags of silver was it? You know, the man entrusted them with property that was his. He entrusted his money to them. You know, do I see what I have been given and entrusted with as a gift from God? Because God chooses to work through us as his people. He chooses to work through us as his church. And he entrusts us with these things that are from him. Now we see that the man didn't just entrust them with a bag of silver, but his bag of silver. Now who knows that you're much more likely to take good care of something when it belongs to somebody else? Like, think about the way you drive your car versus someone else's. I think the saying, drive it like you stole it, doesn't apply to driving your friend's car. Because when it doesn't belong to us, when it belongs to someone else, we're more likely to take good care of it. And for us, God has entrusted you with what is his. You know, God created the world and everything in it, and then he entrusted us to care for it, to nurture it, to utilize it for mission, and to see people meet Jesus. So what are some lessons that we can learn from this illustration? What is Jesus teaching? Well, the first is that disciples understand that it is God who supplies. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 7 says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. You know, God has given a gift of grace to each of us, a gift of salvation that was freely given, that we are able to stand righteous before God because of what Jesus did. You know, this fact should make our hearts leap with gratitude, leap with thankfulness to God for all that he has done for us. But beyond this, Jesus left us with gifts, talents, unique abilities to serve each other, to serve the church, to serve God. God provides for us so that we can build each other up, so that we can encourage each other as the church and share his good news with the world. You know, there's an example from the Old Testament in 1 Chronicles where we see that David and the people of God have gathered their resources together and they've given offerings to God to build the temple. And when they stand back and look at it, they have much resources that they've given. But amongst all that was provided, amongst all of the joy, David stood before the people to encourage them not to forget where their supply came from. That they hadn't got to where they were on their own, so that they would keep their hearts and motivations clear on using the resources that were given as an offering to God to serve God, because it was God who'd entrusted them with it. You know, 1 Chronicles 29 verse 14, it says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, God, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. You know, what was entrusted to them, they gave back to God. Because everything comes from God. You know, David took the time to not only remember this, but to declare that God, everything comes from you. As a reminder of who it is that we're serving. That who it is that has entrusted us with resources. You know, daily gratitude helps us to remember our dependence on God. It helps us to remember who our supplier is. You know, do I remember where my supply comes from? You know, am I in a habit of thanking God daily for his provision, for his supply? You know, can I encourage you to make this a practice in your family? To every day, take a moment to thank God for what he has given, that we would be faithful in serving him with that. You know, this helps us to maintain our understanding that God is our true source, that he is the one who gives us what we have, that we don't create it for ourselves, but we serve the God from who has given us. Now, the second thought today is that gratitude and remembrance brings about humility. You know, if we maintain an attitude that we're self-made, that we're self-built, that we've built up these things for ourselves, then we open the door to pride in our lives. And you know, when God comes knocking on your heart and he's like, it's time for these things to be used for me to serve people, to serve our community, you know, how much tighter will we hold on to it if our attitude is that we worked hard to gain it, that we made that for ourselves? You know, when we find humility in remembering and understanding that everything we have is God-given, God-ordained, how much more open-handed can we be with it? You know, when we talk about humility, what it doesn't mean is counting what we have as nothing. What it doesn't mean is undervaluing what God has given to us. You know, you can be humble and still have confidence in who God's created you to be. You can be humble and have confidence in the ability and the talents that he's given to you. Because godly humility is an understanding that everything comes from God. And it leads to a heart desire to use what we have for his glory. Now, in the illustration, there's no mistaking where the resources came from because he handed it to them. But maybe for us, it's not quite that straightforward. You know, God doesn't hand us the things in our lives. And it can be easy to attribute what we have to something else. But that's the purpose of this illustration. That's the purpose of this reminder, is that we would remember that it's God who gives and it's God who trusts and that he is our supplier. Now, the third point today is that God has entrusted you with a measure. You know, we've all been given a measure by God. You know, we haven't all been given the same by God. We haven't all been entrusted with the same thing. And can I encourage you that this can be a freeing thought if we maintain and approach it with the right attitude? You know, because we don't have to place expectations on ourselves to outdo the people around us. Now, you don't have to serve God better than the person sitting next to you. Because we're followers of Jesus and Jesus only, not followers of man. You know, we live our lives to please God and remain faithful to God, not to please man. Now, what we've been given is for purpose, and God directs us in how to use it. You know, what we have, sometimes it might feel like one bag of silver, sometimes it might feel like two bags of silver, sometimes it might feel like five bags of silver, but know this morning and trust in God that whatever it feels like, that God has given it to you for purpose. That God has given it to you for purpose. Now, we can trust God that he has created us, the church, to fit together and work perfectly in unity. Each bringing something unique And not only unique, but something essential to the church. You know, in the illustration, we see that the master gave each of them what was appropriate for them. But can I ask this morning, do we sometimes compare our measure with others? Do we sometimes compare what God has entrusted us with what he's entrusted somebody else with? Because the trouble with comparison is it never works. It never leaves us in a good place. You know, when we compare what God has entrusted to us with other people and it feels like we have much, we can feel the weight of responsibility of that. It's like, God, why are you entrusting me with this? Entrusted to someone else. Like, they're only doing one thing. Like, you don't know what God has entrusted other people with. And when we feel like God's entrusted us with little, we can lament that. We can lament the lack. But God has entrusted each of us with what is appropriate for what we need for the purposes that he has for us. You know, when we look at toward the end of this illustration, you know, in both cases where the servants were commended for their faithfulness, it says that they were commended for being faithful with a small amount. You know, one of them had 2.5 times the amount of the other, but they were both commended for being faithful with a small amount. Because the truth is, regardless of how much or how little we have been, it feels like we've been entrusted with, all of it small in comparison to how big our God is. You know, it's my prayer that we would find freedom in knowing that God has given us exactly what we need for the purposes that he has for us. You know, maybe our focus shouldn't be on what we feel like we do or don't have, but on what God has purposed for us to do with what we have today. Because we'll read it again. The two servants who used what was given to them were both given the same commendation. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Now, from this, what is God's expectation of us with what he's entrusted to us? Because, you know, when you entrust something to someone, usually there's an expectation that comes with it. Like, you entrust your car to someone, you don't want them to crash it. You entrust your dog to them, you want it to eat. But what does God expect of us with what he's entrusted? He expects us to be faithful with it. Because what was important was the servant's faithfulness, and what is important is our faithfulness to God with what he has entrusted to us. To be willing to serve and steward all that he has given to us. You know, the third servant who didn't do anything with what the master entrusted to them said, "I knew you to be a hard man. I knew you to be a hard man." And this speaks to the fact that this third servant had a misconception of the heart of the master. They had a misconception of what the master was expecting from them. That he was expecting big results when he was looking for their faithfulness. You know, the Bible, can I encourage you, the Bible shows us God's heart for us. And when we understand God's heart to us, his heart of love, his heart of grace, it motivates us to action. Because our faithfulness is shown in what we do with the measure that God has given to us. You know, we go from looking at what we might or might not be carrying to seeing what we have through the lens of God having entrusted it to us. The perfect tools, the perfect resources, the perfect ability to fulfill the purposes that he has for us. You know, it doesn't matter what God has given to others. Whether it's more, whether it's less, or whether it's the same, because it's our individual purpose to do the best with what he has given to us as individuals. Now, this is a countercultural idea to talk about today, because our society wants us to talk about equality, for us all to have equal opportunity, for us all to be seen the same. And can I encourage you that we are all seen the same in God's eyes because of what Jesus did for us. But when it comes to God entrusting us, he's entrusting you to be faithful with what he has given to you. Because God cares so much more about our heart to serve him, to steward well what he has given to us, to take our measure and be faithful with it and allow and trust God to bring the multiplication, for God to bring the result. You know, it's our faithfulness in these moments that God values. Can I encourage you this morning to let everything that we do be worship to God? You know, Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." You know, can I encourage you that, you know, if the end of the songs we sing on Sunday is the end of our worship for the week, then maybe we need to have a change of mindset. That we would worship God with the very way that we live our lives. You know, that we would see the way that we serve others as worship, the way that we work in our job as worship to God. You know, the way we act around others as worship to God, the way that we serve others to be an act of worship to God. You know, that whatever it is that God has entrusted you with, that we would offer it as an act of worship to God. Because how do we see the actions from our day-to-day lives? Do we see them as just tasks, just ticking off things? I know life can get busy, but do we see these moments as acts of worship to God? That he's entrusted us with what we have. So what is our response this morning to being entrusted by God? You know, God has entrusted each of us with exactly what we need for the purposes that he has for us. And we can choose to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, becoming more and more like him, desiring to pursue his ways. We can follow in his footsteps and say, "God, everything I have, I surrender to you. God, all that you've entrusted to me, I offer back to you as an act of worship, as an act of faithfulness to you." You know, Jesus gave us the ultimate example of this in Luke 23, verse 46, when he was on the cross and he shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. Now, Jesus' ultimate act of surrender. Now, he was entrusted with something that wasn't very easy. He was entrusted with going to the cross, dying an innocent death for us, carrying our sins, and making a way for us to be in relationship with God. But in that moment, in the struggle of, "I don't really want to do this, but God, it's your will. You've entrusted me with this." He said, "I surrender to God." He chose to entrust himself back to God. So this morning, we can do that. We can Say, God, I thank you for what you've given to me, and I choose today to entrust it back to you. God, that I surrender my will to your will. God, I surrender my purposes to your purposes. And allow God to bring his goodness to us. Allow God to bring his power upon our lives. You know, I want to allow a moment of response around this morning, that God has entrusted you with something. I just want everyone to close their eyes for a moment. Because God has entrusted each of us with something, whether it's the time that we have, it's the spaces that we serve in, it's the resources he's given us, the abilities, the talents. And regardless of what it feels like, we can choose today to say, God, I surrender it all to you. God, I entrust it all to you. God, would you take what you have given to me and use it for your will, for your purposes. So I just want to give you the opportunity today that if you want to choose today to entrust what you have to God, would you just put your hands out in front of you as an act of surrender to him? To say, God, I'm taking what you have given to me, what you've entrusted to me, and I'm offering it back to you. God, would you take it? Would you use it? Would you multiply it? Would you bring about a harvest of results? God, would you bring about a harvest of souls? God, would you take what you've entrusted to me and use it to see people meet you? God, we choose today to surrender all that we have to you. God, we thank you for what you've entrusted to us. God, we thank you it's for purpose. God, and I pray that you would take it and you would multiply it. God, I thank you that you've given each of us a purpose, that you've given each of us a mission. God, and I pray this week as we go out into our week, as we go out into the marketplace, into our schools, our universities, our workplaces, God, that you would take what you've entrusted us with, God, and use it for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, just before we finish this morning, you know, we spoke about today how God has given us freedom. But sometimes this freedom that God has given to us, we can take and we can choose to go our own way. We can choose to live a life without God. But it's God's heart for each of us that we would be connected to him, that we would be in relationship with him. And if you would say today that you don't have Jesus as a part of your life, that you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you know, I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision this morning. Because when we were separated from God because of our sin, because of our unbelief in him, he chose, because of his great love for us, to send his son Jesus to earth. And then Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life, and he carried our sins, and he went to the cross and died an innocent death. But he didn't stay dead, because on the third day he rose victorious over all sin and of death, and created a pathway for us to be restored into relationship with God. Now Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, God did this so that we could be in relationship with him. And what it requires of us is, one, that we would acknowledge and admit that we've been away from God, that we've done wrong by him. Second, to declare that we believe in God, that we believe in Jesus. And the third is to invite Jesus to be a part of our lives. So if that's you this morning and You want to make a decision to invite Jesus into your life, into your heart. You know, we're going to pray a prayer together as a church, and it's a prayer of declaration of repentance and one of turning our lives to Him. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get the whole church to pray this together as well. So dear God, thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to make a way for me to be in relationship with You. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that You raised Him from the dead. I choose today to follow You. Amen. We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church. Thank you.